Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to Seminary Explores, the Seminary Gettysburg Seminary's podcast. This is Kristen Largen. I am a professor of systematic theology here, serving as interim dean. And I have today as my guest Mark Oldenburg, dean of the chapel and professor of worship, and my personal guru on almost all matters, but certainly all matters relating to worship and liturgy. And so, Mark, welcome. It's great to have
you
with
us. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Well, I have to tell our listeners the genesis of this conversation, because it's so funny. So Mark and I were emailing back and forth about some different matters, and in the course of that, you had sent me this great article that you had written. It's remind me what the journal...
It's the Journal of the Association of Lutheran Church Musicians.
Oh, great. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. We'll let Mark say more about it, but I thought it was so interesting. And what it concerns is this question about kind of Sunday morning worship and secular religion. And so the kind of tensions and overflow or overlap between what a community does on Sunday morning and what's going on in the lives of the individuals and in the lives of the community as a whole, and how we sort of negotiate that faithfully as Christians. So I thought I'd ask Mark to open us up with the two bad examples. I think they were horror stories. That you opened your article with, and then we can kind of go from there.
Well, and they were two different Sunday 4th of Julys that I experienced. And they were horror stories in very different ways. One was Sunday the 4th of July when I was a supply preacher. And at the end of the service, before the dismissal, what happened was that four members of the youth group came to march to the front, each of them dressed in the uniform of one of the armed services of the United States, turned around, and each of them had a United States flag, and the congregation sang, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." The organist noticed that I did not sing along and asked what the problem was. Mm-hmm. And what I said was, there are certain things that I love so much, like my country and my wife, that I need to be very, very careful that I don't fear, love, and trust them more than I fear, love, and trust God. And so, especially in worship, I need the help of the community to keep that relationship of God is God, and other things are good, but they're not God.
Okay.
They don't have the kind of ultimate loyalty that God does. Now, what I didn't mention is another reason that I didn't sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee in that context, is that that is a hymn to the nation as a god, and it just doesn't make sense to sing a hymn to another god in the context of the worship of the
right.
God who gave us the first commandment.
Right.
Christians have died rather than doing that.
Yeah, right, right. Interesting.
So that was one horror story.
Okay, we'll hold that, and then we'll come back. Right.
The other story is a few years later, summer, usually as whenever we can, including the 4th of July, my wife and I vacation at a wonderful Norman Rockwell-esque place that is a small town of summer residents. But on 4th of July, everybody decorates not only their house, but they decorate themselves and their bikes. And
so cute.
Everybody under 10 years of age is welcome to come and be part of the town parade that is led by the old fire engine of the volunteer fire company. Everybody under 10 years of age goes behind them in their red, white, and blue bespangled tricycles and scooters, and wearing red, white, and blue hats and wigs and everything else. winds up at the front yard of one of the oldest residents who always provides snow cones for everybody that is there. And then everybody goes to a picnic, comes back to watch from the one spot in town that you can see the fireworks exhibit on the other spot. And it is a sort of quintessential small town 4th of July. It's all the glorious nostalgic celebration of the wonders of being a citizen of America. It's just wonderful. This 4th of July happened to be on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so before doing any of this, we went to the little chapel that's in the town.
Okay.
In which the 4th of July, the United States, was not mentioned at all. It was as if the rest of the day was not going to happen.
Okay.
So that it was completely cut off from what everybody there was thinking about.
Okay.
That's a horror story, too. There really are competing horror stories.
Right, right.
That on the one hand, the first one is on simply adopting civil religion and the nation as a god.
Yeah.
In the other, it's not taking the gift of God that is the nation.
Yeah, yeah.
And that loyalty and its ideals, simply ignoring that.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that there needed to be a way to get between those two horror stories.
Right. Well, and that's exactly, I mean, I think anybody who has been a pastor and a layperson in a congregation, I'm sure has had that experience, because it feels to me often like the church really doesn't know what to do on some of these moments. Mother's Day for me is another one. I could imagine two exactly parallel horror stories where one, nothing is talked about except mothers. Mothers are extolled the entire service, or it's not even mentioned that it's Mother's Day, both of which would be equally problematic.
And in this case, it's even worse, because if it's mother, and it's all extolled, that really excludes those people who have a problematic relationship with their mother, let alone the ones who would love to be mothers are not able to, or
lost a mother that year.
That's right.
But I also think, I mean, to me, it's a similar thing with the 4th of July example, because not all of the people in our congregations are American,
right?
I assume we have some people who are immigrants,
you know. Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, so part of, for me, what I thought, would be great to have this conversation is to just remind ourselves of why both of these are not good, not good practices. And I think, and I think you laid that out really well. I mean, the one certainly causes us to violate the first commandment in terms of confusing God's small g with God capital G. And the other, it does not help us to love what God loves, right?
Exactly.
Our communities, all of who we are, all of those things. So I think for me, then, what I thought we would have some further conversation about is, okay, how does it, what principles does a pastor, does a church community use to guide itself as they try to think about how to negotiate? Because I think the other problem is you have people that feel passionately about these things, right?
Yes.
I mean, I know people for whom if they don't sing My Country 'Tis of Thee or the Star Spangled Banner in worship, they're just mortally offended, right? Or if veterans aren't invited, you know. So how do you think about
some of these
issues?
I think there are certain holidays that it is an issue for. There are other holidays that it's simply not.
Oh, sure. That's okay.
There are, for instance, holidays that are so churchy in their origin or their connection.
Like, what are you thinking about, Martin?
Like Martin Luther King Day.
Okay, well, say more about that. That's interesting.
That is a civil holiday. It's a state.
Yep.
It's a federal holiday.
Yep.
And yet, it really began life as a commemoration of a saint.
Oh, how interesting. Of course. I hadn't thought about
that. It's clear that Martin Luther King's impetus, the heart of his message, came from the gospel.
Yeah.
And so it's real easy for the church to observe Martin Luther King Day.
You know, I just have to say, I think that's brilliant. I honestly had never thought about it that way. And I think that just that little reminder is, so pastors, if you're listening out there, write that down. For people who would say, well, how come we get to talk about Martin Luther King in a different way than we talk about Lincoln or Washington right. or President's Day or something, this commemorate, that's right. so nice.
And that's sort of the other kind of holiday that there's, I don't think there's much of a problem
okay.
with, that there are holidays that just don't have the kind of oomph or gravity
yeah.
that, for the most part, in most years, they're simply excuses to have car sales.
Days off.
Okay. I have never been criticized for ignoring Columbus on Columbus Day. That's just...
Yeah, right, okay.
On the other
right.
hand, in 1992... At the 500th anniversary
right,
of
right.
the landing, and in places where mm-hmm. there's a large population of Native Americans,
right. yep, then it's a different
then
conversation.
It's a different, but you know, in
yeah,
in most places on most years, President's Day, Grandparents' Day, Administrative Assistance Day, you know,
right.
those aren't holidays that they
fire
that
anybody up in the
even,
church.
Even comes up,
right, right.
But there are holidays that do have that kind of gravity
yeah.
that are mythic in the sense of helping to create a worldview.
Okay.
So
well, that's
that
interesting. Yeah.
Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day to some extent in some places.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Again, often on 9/11. Anniversary, even though
yeah.
it isn't a holiday, it's still a day that is marked.
Yeah.
And whether that's celebrated or in terms of grieving,
yeah,
those are occasions that it's really missed if they aren't in some way included in the community's worship.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that there are two ways that it makes sense, sort of two categories of ways
okay.
that it makes sense to include those.
Uh-huh.
That one is, in almost every tradition, there is something that's called something like the prayers of the people.
Yeah, oh, right.
And part, you know, if you have the prayers of the people on Mother's Day, that doesn't in any way include mothers.
Right.
It's not the prayers of the people.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
mine.
Right. Right, exactly, because yeah. what's on everybody's mind that day, mothers, yeah,
and
in whatever
obviously
way.
Obviously,
yeah.
the how you describe that
right.
needs to be crafted
right.
in such a way that you don't exclude people that you don't need to,
mm-hmm.
but that you recognize really the vocation of mothers
yeah.
as a calling from God.
Yeah.
And provide the opportunity for thanksgiving, for support of those who are in that vocation, mm-hmm. that it just makes sense, as I say, if
right.
it's going to be the prayers of the people, it's going to need to include what the people are praying about.
Yeah, that's nice.
And the same is true for Veterans Day, for mm-hmm. Memorial Day, for Independence Day, for this Sunday closest to Election Day.
Oh, yeah, good, right.
These are all connected with things that we're stewards of as well.
Yeah.
We need to pray to be good stewards.
Right, right.
So that's one thing that it makes sense. The other is, often these are things that can serve as icons of the God that we worship.
Oh, say what you mean by that.
That they are ways in which we understand God better.
Yeah. Nice.
So that, for instance, the first bishop I had as a pastor
mm-hmm.
was Hurle of Jensen,
okay.
who had served as a member of the infantry at the end of World War II.
Oh, wow.
And in his company was a man named, I can't remember his first name, was George Worthy.
Okay.
His last name was Worthy.
Okay.
So Private Worthy was a member of the company, not particularly good or bad or anything, but simply one of his band of brothers.
Yeah, oh, nice.
As he was engaged in Germany in the end of World War II, they were going through and cleaning up, mopping up operations. Well, there was a sniper, a German sniper, who took a bead on Herlihy. Mm-hmm. And as he pulled his trigger, George Worthy stood up exactly in line between the sniper and Herlihy and took and was killed by the bullet.
Oh, gosh.
That was meant for Herlihy.
Wow.
And what Herlihy said was, "You have no idea what it means to me to sing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.'"
Wow.
"That I owe my life. I am alive because he was dead.
Yeah.
I owe my life to him. I understand the sacrifice of Christ." Now,
yeah.
They're different.
No, right.
But I understand
sure,
it better.
Right.
I feel it
right.
better.
Right.
Because of that experience.
Yeah.
And to some degree, that's sort of our experience as well, all of our experiences
right.
on Memorial Day.
Okay.
That we're saying we have benefited because of the sacrifice of these people, and that language of sacrifice mm-hmm. is one that helps us understand the self-emptying of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and to be moved by it, to understand it more deeply, maybe than we otherwise would have.
Okay.
That everybody, no matter what, on Mother's Day now,
no yeah.
matter what your relationship with your mother is or has been, and here I'm talking about biological mother.
Yeah.
This is someone, you are alive because of her and her chancy giving birth.
Yeah.
That it
right.
was a dangerous thing
right.
for
right.
her to give birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that there's a way in which mothers generally are
yeah.
icons of Christ.
Right.
Through which we can understand that better. So that it seems to me that, especially because these are holidays with great gravity, with a significant weight, it's exactly because they share something with God.
Yeah. Okay. Now, tell me, how does that work with Independence Day? I mean, would you say that love of country is like... I mean, I don't know. I'm just
yeah.
wondering.
I mean, certainly there are... No, I think on Independence Day, it is more of thanksgiving, of vocation.
Okay.
Of being concerned in stewardship.
Okay.
I mean, there are other things as well. For
yeah,
instance,
sure. Okay.
I mean, it's an icon in the sense that I understand John 1 on where it says that Jesus is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that better if I can imagine if the Declaration of Independence were a human being.
Oh, how interesting.
That really,
yeah.
the Declaration of Independence is the Word of the United States.
Huh.
That's how we
right.
understand what the United States is and could be and should be.
Interesting.
It's the logos of the United
yeah.
States.
Mark, you're really creative. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, John 1 is the logo. There's a logos of God, but it's a human being
yeah.
that we can know and be in relationship with.
Yeah. Would you say, I mean, that? I mean, what, of course, what I'm hearing you, I mean, the overarching thing to me here is what this always requires in any situation is careful consideration by the pastor
sure.
with the community,
absolutely.
All of that. And I think, you know, anytime you know that you're going to come in and violate a community's norm,
yes.
right? I mean, that's going to require...
Establishing a tradition is a lot... easier than changing
it. Right.
Yes.
But I mean, it really sounds to me like when thoughtfully considered and thoughtfully done, you really can have a lovely synergy where both, everyone feels like, oh, this has been honored and remembered in its place while we have maintained our focus
yeah.
here with worship and honor
so
of God.
So, for instance, I don't have the same trouble with singing God Bless America or My Country Tis.
Okay.
I'm sorry, not My Country Tis, but America the Beautiful.
Okay.
That I do singing My Country Tis. Because those are hymns to God. About the nation.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We don't want to stop with God Bless America. We might want to ask God to bless more than America
yeah.
as well.
Right.
But
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, for me, that's always, you know, there, I think more and more, well, I don't know whether more and more, lately I have seen and read books talking about the different things, aspects of civil religion, where they, and we mentioned when Mark and I were talking about this earlier, sports is another, right, a very good example of things that threaten. I mean, again, in theological language, they are temptations.
Yes.
Not that they are in and of themselves bad things, but they tempt us away from our ultimate allegiance. And so I think, but they also are very important to us. So, you know, we were talking about, right, I'm a Denver Bronco fan, and 2 years ago when we were in the Super Bowl. I wasn't in Colorado, but it would seem to me if I had been a pastor in Colorado, somehow that game, the prayers for those traveling, the players, whatever, would have been in the prayer somehow.
On the other hand, again, years and years ago, the example will tell you how many years ago it was. When Washington was playing Buffalo in the Super Bowl, I was in church outside of Washington, and in the prayers of the people, the congregation prayed for the victory of the Washington team.
Oh, gosh.
So that I, as a Buffalo
Bills
fan, was excluded from the people of God.
Oh, isn't that fascinating?
So I'd be careful about doing that.
Right. Well,
and yet, part of the context being in that place.
Right.
Is rooting for the hometown team.
Well, but it's clear you pray for everybody. Yes. Nobody gets hurt and those kind of things. But I think you point to the other assumption that congregations often make about who the we is, who we are.
Yes.
And so you're right. The assumption is, well, here we are in Washington. It's a Sunday morning. Everybody here is going to be a Washington Redskins fan. And how then you end up something that's supposed to be very inclusive and ends up being exclusive. That's interesting.
Yeah. And connected with that is there's a church outside of Washington, D.C., that in Silver Spring, which does have a United States flag in it, but has as well the flags of every nation that any member has ever been a citizen of.
I've never seen that. That's really interesting.
They're hanging toward the ceiling.
Okay.
And just going down and that is a tremendously inclusive thing.
Wow. Yeah. That's
allows
really
us
fabulous.
To bring those loyalties into the church rather than saying to be here you have to have this particular loyalty to something other than God.
Yeah. Well, and that's probably a good way for us to conclude. I mean, again, for me, the overarching, like you said, going back to the beginning, there are these two overarching concerns, right? One is that we keep God always at the focus and center of our lives, but two, we honor and celebrate all that God has made and all that God has done.
And what's important to God.
Yeah, right. Oh, super. Alrighty, Mark. Well, thank you so much. Enjoyable conversation, as always.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from Historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.